time to welcome sports journo Zoe George. Kia ora, Zoe.
Kia ora, Karen. Welcome to Nights. It's so exciting to be on here with you for your very first show.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, and I'm pretty excited myself, actually, even though I'm keeping it pretty low-key. I don't want to scare anyone. I know we're going to talk rugby, and I was just having a little chat there with Evie about the men in her family who have had concussion.
Yeah, concussion is a really hot topic in contact sports right now, particularly in rugby. There is a big global sort of suit against World Rugby at the moment. They're the ones who oversee the game. And we're talking more than 100 former players. And amongst them is Cal Heyman, who's an All Black. And he got diagnosed with early onset dementia. He's only in his early 40s, you know, in his 40s and played for the All Blacks. It's changing the game, the way that we talk about concussion. You know, it used to be this whole notion where you got knocked down and then you kind of get back up again and you just off you go, you know, but it is changing. And one of the things that we're not seeing a lot of, but it's starting to happen, is research in regards to head knocks and concussion on women, because most of this research is done on men. And I know that Otago University is doing a lot of research around concussion and impact sports. So I think the discussion around this is going to be incredibly big and important in the next few years. And for those who are interested in knowing more about concussion or wanting to hear perspectives of former players, there's NRL, rugby and AFL players. There's this fantastic podcast that's just come out in the last few weeks called Head Noise from The Australian. You can listen to it on like Spotify and Apple. And they talk about the impacts of concussion in professional, mainly professional sport. And these primarily men, and their young men, have early onset dementia, having anxiety, depression, suicidal tendencies. There's all sorts of things in the way that they're being impacted by having continuous head knocks as well, not just one but multiple over the span of their playing careers. So it's a big subject, and so I'm not surprised that Evie's son has decided to go and play basketball
with a little help,
which is and that's one of the fastest growing sports in all of New Zealand.
That's
brilliant. So yeah, it's huge. It's really, really huge. And it's just getting bigger and bigger. And one of the amazing things as well right now is that this year, for the very first time, we have pay equity for men and women at the New Zealand kind of, you know, domestic league. They're getting paid the same, which means both men and women, boys and girls, have the opportunity to be professionally paid basketballers in New Zealand. And I think that's rather epic.
It is epic. You have to be tall, though, don't you? Or can you be swift?
I once got picked for the Tall Blacks many years ago. I got a message going, congratulations, Zoe, you've been picked for the tour to China for the Tall Blacks, and we can't wait to have you. And I was like, yeah, so slight problem, I'm 5'4", fun sized. I can come on tour as your social manager, though, if you really like. And they were like, oh, wrong Zoe, sorry. And I was like, no, I want to play.
That's great. There have been few red faces over that.
It was quite entertaining. So I always say that I have been selected for a New Zealand team over the years. So there you go. But basketball's a great game, and it is growing incredibly, you know, with the WNBA and the visibility of women in the sport as well. It's really positive. And we had 3-on-3 at the Comm Games for the very first time, and our women did quite well. So, you know, there are pathways as well. Sport should be fun, and we should play sport for fun, but there are also pathways now for those who want to play at a competitive level.
Good to hear. And on a sort of really tragic level, I've seen those terrible pictures coming out of Indonesia, and at least 170 people killed in a stampede at a football game?
Yeah, at a football game. Reports are at least 17 children killed as well. It happened in East Java on Saturday night. What happened was the teams, it was only the home ground fans as well who were allowed at the stadium, because there's this massive rivalry between Arema FC and Persebaya Surabaya. And so it was only the Arema fans who were in the crowd, but Arema lost. And after the game, the fans kind of surged onto the field, and then the police started firing tear gas, both at the crowd on the field and also the crowd in the stand. And it was jam-packed, you know, and FIFA, who's the governing body of football, have said no crowd control gas, no use of anything like that at all. So the police have breached FIFA's guidelines, and now there are calls for serious investigation to be carried out to why this happened. I imagine the death toll will continue to rise, which is just so incredibly sad, because you don't go to sport and go and watch your favourite team not thinking you're going to come home, you know, not going to come home.
Crazy to be firing tear gas into the crowd. There can't have been, you know, there can't have been that much danger going on, or was there?
Well, this is the thing. I watched some of the footage, and there were so many people. It was looking at it, you know, it was overcrowded. There was just an incredible amount of people. So, of course, they're going to end up on the pitch. But some of the stories that I've been reading, like players were carrying people who were injured. When they were leaving, they saw people lying on the road. And the officials, police have said that they've handled it completely fine and that there was no issues. And now they're calling for an investigation. But if... you know, Indonesia football investigate themselves, then we all know what happens when sport investigates themselves, right? It gets buried. So whether FIFA come in and investigate, whether we bring in an external integrity unit to investigate what's happened. But Indonesia are due to host the 2023 FIFA Under 20 World Cup next year in May and June, with 24 teams from around the world going. And as the host country, they already have qualified for the cup. And so this far out, it is incredibly concerning. It's one of the most deadly days ever in sport history. And it's incredibly sad. And I really hope serious changes, and, you know, that there's a serious investigation into what's happened over there. It's just awful.
It is terrible, terrible news to hear that. And will they go ahead with hosting that cup? Is there chance that they may not?
Well, I haven't heard anything that they won't, but there's going to have to be serious changes made here. And when we host things like this, because New Zealand's hosting the Women's World Cup next year, and, you know, this is a $1 billion enterprise. Football is the largest sport in the world, and hosting a Football World Cup, whether it's under 17, under 20, the women's or the men's, it's a big deal and it's a big money-making business. So this would have an economic impact on Indonesia as well if they were to lose that World Cup. To try and reorganise the World Cup as well is going to be a bit of a challenge. So I'm sure we'll know more over the next few days about what's going to happen.
Very big questions being asked by FIFA.
Yeah, it's not acceptable. It's absolutely not acceptable. You know, and if we were sending our team over there to play, I'd be asking tough questions too. So New Zealand football needs to be asking tough questions too. So it's just awful, awful.
Well, and more positive news, Rugby yes. World Cup starts this week on New Zealand soil.
Woohoo! Yay! It's so exciting! Woohoo! Black Ferns, they play Australia. There are three games happening at Eden Park on Saturday, and the organisers today said that they're expecting it to be a sellout, which would be amazing. They've currently sold 35,000 tickets for Saturday, and you get three games for that, including that pinnacle game between New Zealand and Australia. And tickets are like $5 for kids, and they start at $10 for adults. They've got Rita Ora, the UK pop star, playing. And then the following day, there's three games in Whangarei, and Lady Six is playing up there. We've got, for the semi-finals, we've got Shapeshifter playing. It's like $10 for a Shapeshifter concert and the semi-finals. I mean, hello, that's so cheap. And then we've got Benny playing at the finals. It's just for me, it's been quite interesting because I am so proud that, you know, this is the second of four major women in sports events that New Zealand is playing host to. We had the Cricket World Cup earlier in the year. We've got the Rugby World Cup now. Just after the Rugby World Cup, we've got the International Work Group for Women in Sport, which talks about everything to do with women in sport. And then next year we've got FIFA. And I love the fact that we are backing women in sport, which is great. But the other part of me knows how hard women have had to fight, particularly in rugby, to be seen and to be heard. The first Rugby World Cup for women happened in 1991, and that wasn't even sanctioned by the governing body back then. They were not interested or impressed, and so women just organised it themselves. And it wasn't until about 1998 that World Rugby recognised that women actually do play rugby and deserve to have a Rugby World Cup. But here's a fun fact question for you, Karen. Uh-oh. Do you know when the very first women's rugby game happened in New Zealand?
Okay, it's a trick question. I'm going to say 1929.
Oh, you're not that far off. Women have been playing rugby in New Zealand before women got the right to vote. So 1890s is when women first started playing rugby
really?
In New Zealand. Only 20 years after the first men's game. That was a modified game, and women started to play tackle rugby in about 1915. But women weren't allowed to play rugby without parental consent.
What were they wearing?
Some of them wore skirts and like little dresses and stuff in the early days, which is highly impractical. And speaking of highly impractical, four of the teams at this Rugby World Cup are wearing white shorts, which is just highly impractical when you're a woman playing sport. Right.
Provide a few more pairs.
It would be nice if they wore black or blue or whatever. Dark coloured shorts. Research shows that making girls and women play in white uniforms impacts their performance and their enjoyment in the game.
Really? They're worried about them getting dirty.
Well, period anxiety. It's a thing. It's a thing that men don't have to think about, but women do. And just this week, West Brom, for example, the football team, they've just changed their women's uniforms from white shorts to dark shorts so that they don't have to worry about it. They can focus on playing the game and being at peak performance, when they're on their periods and not having to worry about bleeding through. It's not a conversation that we often have, but it's something
not
that
really.
I have, like the... that, you know, proper uniform design is really important. So I'm really looking forward to talking to some of those athletes at the Rugby World Cup about their uniforms. The Black Ferns are all in black, so that's great. I've got my Black Ferns jersey ready to go. They are not favourites to win the World Cup. They are five-time World Cup champions, which, by the way, is more than the All Blacks. And they're current defending champions. But they've had a bit of a bumpy ride in the last 12 months. And so they're not coming into this World Cup on home soil as the underdogs. But I think that might give them a bit of fire in their bellies. And I think we're going to see some incredible performances from not only them, but also from England and from France.
Who's the favourite?
I think some dark horses are England.
Oh, England's the favourite, right.
The Red Roses. So over the last couple of years, what's happened is New Zealand's been awesome, right? It's in our blood. It's in our genes. We're great rugby players. But the others, like England and France, have seen our style of game and have stepped up and up and up and up. And then last year on the Northern Tour, they beat us, hands down, and we had a hell of a time. And then when they came back, when the Black Ferns came back, that's when we had one of the props speak up about mental health issues and culture issues within the squad. A big review happened. We had the coach step down. Now we've got Wayne Smith, who they refer to as the professor, in there coaching them. And from all accounts, the culture is a lot better than what it was. And so hopefully under his guidance and under the guidance of a coach called Whitney Hanson, they might be able to do it. So I would really love to see a Black Ferns England final. I think that would be epic. And it's just, I can't wait to see the crowd get out and support women in rugby, support women full stop, because we do deserve support in this environment.
Those tickets are cheap. Is it a bit of just some kind of bonus for children, or what are the adult prices?
So adults start at $10. I think it's like $10.
Why is it
$40? So this is the first time that they've ever charged for the crowds to go to the Rugby World Cup for women.
I see. Okay. Yep. So they want to keep the price down.
They want to keep it down. They want to make it accessible to everyone. And, because when you go to a Rugby World Cup or a Cricket World Cup, particularly the men's, gosh, tickets are so expensive and are just unattainable for so many people. It is out of reach for so many people. And sport is for everyone and rugby is for everyone. And so we want people to come and support the Black Ferns. And like Fiji is there. It's their first Rugby World Cup. They're going to be amazing. They play incredible rugby. We've got Japan there, who I always cheer for anyway, because I've got a connection to Japan. Canada.
What?
I used to live in Tokyo, so for a few years, just out of Tokyo, and I worked for Japan Cricket, of all things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so are there any tickets left?
Yes. Yes, there are. You can get them on the Rugby World Cup website. They're really easy to buy. And you get three games for the price of one. So you get a match day ticket and they're a back-to-back game. So it's like an entire day, which is great. So games are at Eden Park. So opening game is at Eden Park on Sunday. Whangarei at the Northern Event Centre and out at Waitakere Stadium. The semi-finals will be on the 5th of November. They are at Eden Park and the final is at Eden Park as well. And so it would be magnificent if we could smash some records as Kiwis and just show how much we love rugby and turn up and support our teams. We're already breaking records already. The largest crowds that women's rugby's had was about 20,000 at the last Rugby World Cup in France, and we're already sitting at 35,000 for the opening game at Eden Park this weekend. But if we could get 47,000, which is the capacity for Eden Park, if we could sell it out, how wonderful would that be?
You're doing good. You're talking it up there. I'm feeling sorry for everyone outside of Whangarei in Auckland who can't go. Well, mind you, you could probably come to one of those matches if you had a bit of cash.
Well, I'm going down. I rang my local sports bar the other day and I was like, so are you going to be broadcasting the Rugby World Cup next weekend? And they were like, oh goodness, I didn't even know it was on. And I was like, the All Blacks. I was like, no, the All Blacks are next year. No, it's the Black Ferns. And they're like, oh, the women. And I was like, yeah, the women, they're amazing. And I must admit, I kind of at the moment prefer the style of rugby that the women play. It's incredibly skillful. We don't see those big, it's not as brutal as the men's game. So we don't see those concussions and sickening head knocks that we see in the men's game. And I think, you know, the Black Ferns are going to give it a good crack. So when we talk in a couple of weeks' time, we'll be halfway through the tournament and we'll be seeing how they go. They should be fine in their match pool play. It will be the sort of the semi-finals that if they meet England in the semi-finals, we're in trouble, I think. I reckon we might be able to beat France in the semis. But, I think that will be our biggest challenge.
Is it going to be anywhere that we can watch it on television?
Yep, so Spark Sport have the rights for it, and so I've got a Spark subscription as well, and I'll be watching all the games, and yeah, it's just going to be a really magnificent and fun event. And this is the thing, right? I would have loved for it to be in Wellington or Christchurch or Tauranga or Hamilton or Dunedin, but the organisers have said just for budget constraints and monetary purposes, that's why it's only being held in Auckland and Whangarei. But I'm going up for the semi-finals because I don't want to miss Shapeshifter as well, you know, and for the final to see Benny and you know, it's I'm excited by it.
I can tell.
Yeah, it's great. I was like this when the Cricket World Cup was on earlier in the year. You know, I live for this stuff. This is my, you know, this is my job, this is my life. I just love sport and I love supporting women and I love seeing women do really, really, really well.
Absolutely. I was speaking with Zoe George about sport and should we just change the code here to Hayden Paddon?
Oh, yeah. So he won yesterday.
He did.
Yeah, Hayden Paddon's Rally New Zealand. It was no surprise that it was the WRC2 category at the weekend in Auckland. And I was hearing that the cars were all down at the waterfront, which was quite cool, at the Viaduct in Auckland, which is really, really neat. You know, I love a good rally as well. And having it somewhere like Auckland is, again, quite an interesting place to have it, because normally with rallies it's like out in the wop-wops. But yeah, it was good to see him do incredibly well, and I'm sure this will just keep him going. What else can we say about rallying?
How
really?
Old is he? He's quite experienced, isn't he?
Yeah, he's incredibly. He's quite young though. I don't know how old
in
he
his
is.
In his 30s, maybe.
Yeah, I would. He's quite young. But you know, professional athletes, though, depending on what sport it is, normally retire by their mid 30s. So, but you know, rally drivers and
We have a quick chat about Ryan Fox. That's golf.
Yes, right. Yes, a bit of golf. He won the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship, and he got a $1.43 million payday overnight, which is the biggest victory of his career. He won by one shot ahead of Alex Noren from Sweden and at St Andrews in Scotland. So, thank you very much. $1.3 million. I know what I'd spend that on. Tickets to the Rugby World Cup, of course, but. It was really great. And he's just been having an absolute stellar season. He's just been playing so, so well. And it's really nice to see him, to see a New Zealander. You know, when we talk about Kiwis and golf, Lydia Ko's also playing at the moment. I think she came third in her recent tournament on the weekend. So to see New Zealanders do really well in golf is also really, really nice.
Great stuff, Zoe. Thank you very much for taking us through all that. And you'll just have to go and calm down somewhere for a few minutes.
Yeah, not read about rugby, not think about rugby, don't think about sport for a little bit. But
I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, good luck. So why I do what I do. All right, yep. Lovely to chat and well done on your very first show. And I look forward to speaking with you again soon.
Oh, you too. Thanks very much, Zoe.